It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young.
So Jim is back with us this week after missing last week's episode. How are you doing, Jim? How's life?
Life is not awful. I've just been working a whole lot. So hopefully by the end of September, things are going to settle back down to normal, and I'll be traveling into some different cities with work and wrapping up one project and leading into a couple more. So it's going to be a tough August and September, but it'll pay off in the end. At least that's what I'm being told.
What about you, Jason? How are things with you? Your health issues any better?
Yeah, man, I'm completely done with my ailments. I've been feeling good since about Wednesday of last week, and it is really nice to be back amongst the land of the living. I took the Mrs. to the Taylor Swift concert on Friday night at Mercedes-Benz, and you guys can laugh and say you're going to pull my man card or whatever, but it was, I'm going to go ahead and say it was the best concert I've ever been to in my life.
Wow.
GTFO. Just go.
And I've seen Springsteen. I've seen U2. I've seen Garth, Katy Perry, a bunch of big names that are known for putting on a good concert.
Did they hand out drugs when you walked in? I mean,
T-Swizzle just rocked it, brother.
They're just handing out Molly as you walk in.
I saw you had checked in on Facebook. I was like, note to self, give him some grief when we record.
And he offered it up.
I know, voluntarily.
I know.
All right, and then I also have to tell on myself of a little snafu. I don't know if it's everybody knows this or if it's something that I just found, but I think past couple of shows I've been complaining about my Mojave beta has not been updating.
Yes, your profile.
Yeah, so I finally figured out how you update it. You have to go to About This Mac. It pulls that initial detail screen up, and there's a software update button right there, and it just downloaded on my MacBook Pro like 5 minutes ago. What's weird, though, is typically OS updates are done through the App Store, and when I downloaded the original profile for the Mojave beta, it essentially launched the App Store and downloaded from the App Store. So this whole time I've been expecting updates to OS updates to come through the App Store, but it didn't. So sure enough, if you go to About This Mac and look, there's a new software update button there and hit it, and it downloaded the, I guess, developer beta 5 for Mojave about 10 minutes ago.
Interesting. I always thought it came through the App Store as well. I got my notice the other day, my developer account's about to renew in like 30 days. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll let it go this year. We'll see.
You know you won't.
Well, that's new behavior because previous beta updates came through the App Store.
Yeah, all mine when I've done it before were like that, so I'm kind of surprised as well. Speaking of betas, I think we recorded it last Monday night, and then the next day, at like Tuesday, beta 6 dropped right after that. So I think it was beta 6. And now we've got beta 7 that's rolled out, and are all of you running it as well?
Yeah, I downloaded it yesterday.
I got it on my iPad. I got it on my iPhone. And when I went to put it on my iPad, they had already pulled it, and I didn't download the file yet. I figure if they're going to pull it, I'll wait.
Yeah, the over-the-air update was having a problem, but allegedly the IPSW, if you pull it from the developer portal, it's still fine, allegedly. But I think we all had the phantom update problem where you update to beta 7, you go into settings, and it still shows, hey, an update's available, and you go in, no update's available. That's kind of annoying to my OCD, so I don't really care for that. You guys were noticing some really long times on launching apps. With beta 7, I did not see that, but what exactly did you guys see, and how'd you fix it?
So on mine, it seems to be running okay now, besides the still, like, just quitting out apps to the lock screen, which it occasionally does. But yesterday, right after the upgrade, it was almost unusable at times. It just, apps wouldn't launch, or you'd start typing, and it would be, like, super lag. Like you had like a really slow ping in the old days, and you're just like, get a word, a letter, and then three letters would pop up, and then more letters, just real slow like that. And I did a hard reset on the phone once or twice, and it seems to be, back to just normal beta mode. It's still not perfect, but it's not just awful like it was right after I installed the beta yesterday.
Yeah, it very much felt like just-in-time compiling. After you've rebooted an IIS server and nobody's actually hit those pages yet, the first execution could take, 30 or 45 seconds for the app pools to start up and the initial query and that kind of thing. And then all subsequent pages would load just fine. It kind of felt like that, in that every app that I would launch for the first time would take 5 to 10 seconds to load. But if I would multitask, I could flip through the apps just fine, and I could switch to and from apps that had already been loaded really fast. But the second I introduced a new app to it, it was back to lag.
I like the fact that all of us on this show got your IIS reference. I'm willing to bet that most of our listeners probably did too. So that's really good.
Yeah, I that's a really good reference. I was like, Jason's kind of dating himself, but I totally know exactly what you're talking about with the app pool and all that. That's hilarious.
We could bring it back to Apache or something for our Linux listeners, but I think they get the gist. So you guys, I guess you rebooted a couple of times and it cleared up for you. Is that what you did?
Yeah, I'm not having any problems with any of the apps at this point. So it's going well. I also updated my watch and Apple TV 4K.
You're a brave man. Brave man. Especially for someone.
I've still only done my phone.
Especially the same here. I'm only doing only my phone, only the device I depend on all the time. But you know, the watch, you came within a hair's breadth of bricking your watch with the last beta. Is that right?
Yeah, it sat there for like 40 minutes on the Apple logo and I was scared. I didn't know what to do, but it finally came around.
You're like, breathe, damn it, breathe. You got the defib. You're like trying to shock it back to life. Don't you die on me. Because you know you have to send it back to Apple if it bricks, which is the one thing that keeps me from ever doing a beta on my watch until they fix that behavior.
Yeah, I was without mine a couple of weeks. What was that, like 2 years ago when I upgraded and then I downgraded. I upgraded the phone and then I was like, no, this is awful. And I went back, but I had already upgraded the watch and then the watch wouldn't connect with the phone at all. And so basically I just had a brick for a couple of weeks. I was pretty new to the watch at that point. So I didn't realize that lifeline of connection there.
Just wear it and print a sticker that looks like a watch face.
Pretty much does what I use the watch for.
Exactly. He could just put any set of numbers on it, be right twice a day. So what I've learned is that the watch will work very well with a beta. So with the iOS beta, you don't have to upgrade your watch. So don't even risk it if you don't have to. If you're not writing apps to the watch, and apparently no one is, just don't even take the chance. That's what I see.
I don't know if it's a beta problem or if my watch has just gone wonky or whatever, but I can't really get any support for it right now while it's in beta. It ticks me off so bad in that it's not giving me credit for standing. So I'll walk around the house. I'll let the dogs out. I'll go down to the basement. I'll come back up. I'll sit down at 750 and I get and I'm completely out of breath. Like, you know, heart rate's at 120. I've been, you know, doing crap for 20 minutes at this point. And it says, you can now stand up. Your time to stand up for this hour. I'm like, no, what do you think I've been doing for the last half hour?
That would drive me crazy. I would not be able to stand it, especially since, I mean, here lately with my hurt leg, I haven't been doing the cardio like I normally do. But man, that would drive me nuts of not getting that OCD credit for things that I know that I legitimately did.
And then the other thing that I think this beta has a twisted sense of humor. It comes on at like 11:33 p.m. and it's like, you could hit your exercise goal with a 26 minute brisk walk. I'm like, I am not getting up and walking till 11:59 at this point just to try and...
I wouldn't call 26 minutes brisk either. I mean, brisk is 5 minutes.
Brisk is tea.
Mine last night at 11:15 said, with a brisk 40-minute walk, you too. It's like, first of all, I was only 18 minutes away from hitting the 30-minute goal, so it had logged my total movement for the day at 12 minutes. But the thing, when you walk with the Apple Watch, if you do it outside, it doesn't give you credit for what you did. Like, for example, if you go and you do the elliptical, 30 minutes on the elliptical is 30 minutes of exercise. You could go out and walk for an hour. And I've done this in my neighborhood multiple times, walked the entirety of my neighborhood, which is pretty big, twice, and go, yeah, I hit my goal for the day. And I come back and I look and it's like, you only have 13 more minutes to go. What do you mean? I did like an hour and a half or whatever. And you're saying I only did 20 minutes? No bueno, Apple Watch.
I've done that before where like you think, okay, I put my time in and you get back and no. I did whatever you told me to do and. You know,
and I'm watching my heart rate the whole time I'm doing it. It's like over 100. It's between, you know, I mean, I'm not running. It's not like 130 or 140 the whole time, but it's not like I'm just do-de-do-de-do-de-do, just lackadaisically, you know, ambling about my neighborhood. It's a walk at a pretty brisk pace. So very annoying. Anyway, the big thing that iOS 12 Beta 7 did was the removal of group FaceTime, which will be added later, which is a colossal bummer. And this is like the third year in a row that Apple announces a feature publicly and then puts it in the beta and then pulls it at the last moment. And, you know, it's kind of a scary thing because if you look back over iOS 11, several of the things that we were promised with iOS 11 didn't ship until, in some cases, till beta 1 of iOS 12 was out, which was the AirPlay 2. And what was the other big thing that was in iOS 11 that we expected?
It was the syncing of
iMessage. Yes, yes.
The one that I wanted so bad.
The killer feature, which is awesome, by the way. And, you know, it's taken a year to do this stuff. I know they didn't want to ship before things are time, but, well, you know, FaceTime has existed since, what, like 2010? And every other chat app out there has had multi-user support for, like, years. To the point that I kind of figured they had this sort of working inside of Apple for a long time. And then I thought it was the patent lawsuits over FaceTime they kept facing over and over and over that kept them from doing those types of things.
Good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
That Vernet X patent that they paid like, you know, they got hit with a $500 million judgment or something ridiculous. And I always thought that was the thing that sort of held it back. So I'm really disappointed by this. And I don't think any of us even tried the group FaceTime stuff just because I don't think all of us were running, you know, beta 12 at the same time. I think Jason and I were the only ones that were running it. So, you know, we could just do a normal FaceTime call to each other. We couldn't do a group FaceTime until you guys got on it. And by the time you guys got on it, you know, we were all kind of traveling or doing whatever. So, or in the hospital, you know, one or the other. And
right.
made it a little tough to test. So I'm really kind of bummed. There's another couple bugs in beta 7 where I think Apple Pay may be unavailable on your phone, so I'm glad I do it on the watch. I noticed as someone who spends most of his time on the phone that beta 7 has a really weird glitch with the screen. If you're on a phone call, you know, you put your phone down, you got your Bluetooth headset on or whatever, and you know the screen will kind of go dark, but it doesn't really lock, right? It goes dark or whatever, and you touch the screen and it comes back. Well, when it does that, it comes back from a lock screen, even though it's not locked, and you see a flash of your notifications before it goes to the phone. It's really kind of a flickery type of strange effect, and then it goes nice. Again, I love how we all have the same model phone, but we all have different issues. Well, Jim and Jason had the same issue. I didn't have the speedy issue, but I saw the other people with the apps online having the same issue. So even across the same hardware, you get these weird, unpredictable results, which is not really surprising. I mean, we're all computing guys. We know how that goes, but still kind of weird how uniform the hardware is and still see these weird sort of glitches. So,
well, that happens across the board though. I mean, you could get 10 brand new Dells or 10 brand new Macs and have the same patch levels for all your software and drivers and still get weird wonky things.
Well, what I used to notice with like the Dell servers back in the day, many years ago, is that they would be branded, you know, hey, this is a 2850, this is a 2950 or whatever, but still inside they would change the components up and still call it a 2950. But maybe this one has a Broadcom set, this one has an Intel chipset, maybe this one has whatever for the... And it was still branded as such, but, you know, there was variation. With Apple, they still do that too sometimes, but it's not as prominent. So still kind of a bummer. What do you guys think about these announced features that never get released until almost the next release of the OS?
Steve wouldn't do that.
Oh, Steve did it all the time. No, he just wouldn't tell us about it. He wouldn't tell it. That's the difference. He wouldn't announce it.
Right. They wouldn't announce it until something was ready or close to it. I mean, I think the phone, you know, there was...
And then he'd have a special keynote for it.
I mean, he was like the, you know, the master of the tease, but, you know, still. Now, it seems like they announce these things with a different... They have a different pitch to where it makes it sound like, okay, this is about ready. And you test it and you almost think, okay, this is about ready. And then it just doesn't come out. It's kind of weird. Like, what is, you know, what's the holdup here now? Like I said, I didn't try the group FaceTime.
Well, you know, in their software team, they may have said something like, well, we've got this working, and they do sort of a proof of concept of it. And then somebody walks in the room and shoots holes in it. And they're like, oh, well, it's not ready. You know, and then it takes them 8.5 months to get it fixed.
The fact that it takes so long. So like if it didn't ship until like, let's say the new phone comes out in September and we didn't see it until maybe October, November. That I could kind of understand. But some of these things, you know, slipping for like 10 months after announcing. I mean, we're well over, you know, who knows when AirPower is actually coming. I'm really looking forward to September just to see if the things they announced in mid-2017 will be out. I say mid-2017.
Yeah, that AirPower thing. I mean, there was, what? a month or two ago, a couple of rumors came out where, you know, somebody leaked out, okay, this is what they're having problems with, you know, the heat or something like that. And then they kind of disappeared again. And we don't even know if we're getting that next month now, right? I mean, I figure they're waiting to announce that AirPods charge case. They're not going to release that until AirPower's out. They probably got that charge case ready. That doesn't seem like that would be too difficult, right? That's pretty easy. It's a plastic case. Make it charge. But I'm guessing they're waiting on the AirPower thing to, you know, kind of put it all together.
At this point, I hope they hold off on the charging case until they have version 2 of the AirPods. It would seem, I mean, think about it. The AirPods came out in December of 2016, though it did take a long time before they were generally available. And, you know, we're coming up on 2 years of those things being out there. They're due for a refresh, I would hope.
What would be your ideal upgraded AirPods at this point? Like, what would you want to see?
Longer battery time, hands down, only feature.
Yeah, okay.
And colors.
They'll just make the part that hangs out of your ear about 4 inches long. We got lots of battery in these guys.
Make the pods themselves go out horizontally out of my head. Make them a little bit longer in that direction.
Like Rudy Giuliani does. I know you've seen that photo.
I was talking to somebody, you know, and they were like, well, what do you want in the new AirPods? You know, and I'm like, you know, I named off, you know, a couple of things, maybe better battery life. And one of the things I'm like, maybe just, Apple actually have a different color, you know, because that way when I'm walking around the office, I don't look like I have Q-tips sticking out my ears.
I noticed that when I have the black AirPods in, that it looks like I have like, you know, those earring stud things you can get that make your, you know what I'm talking about? Like the guy, like, what are they?
Gauges.
Yeah. It looks like gauges sticking out of the side of your head when you have the black AirPods in. Even my wife was like, for a moment there, I thought you had, and she described it. I'm like, so it does have that kind of, at a quick glance, you see it. I do see those around the gym. Not the black ones, but the white AirPods, I do see quite a bit around the gym, a lot more than I used to. Used to, I was the only one that was there with it. Now it seems like everybody's rocking them at the gym. So sometimes I like to rock the black ones just to mix it up. But yeah, having the colors red or blue or something neat would just be nice. I mean, I want something other than just the white AirPods, but I definitely want that battery make the thing better. But you know, Apple, they'll try and make them thinner or smaller, but I don't really see where you could. Just keep the battery getting better. I want to be able to use those and not that Plantronics headset that Jim and I both own.
I also maybe a red or blue phone next month would be sharp too, hey.
Oh, man. Please, a red phone.
Yeah, Rene Ritchie just said a couple of days ago he wanted a purple iPhone.
It's a bit much. Okay, so let's see what else happened this week. Logitech made the first wireless charger that Apple should have made for the iPhone X. Did you guys see the one from Logitech?
I did. It looks pretty sharp.
Yeah, that's pretty slick.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it because I've already got a couple of chargers, you know, wireless chargers that I don't necessarily use, or I'm like... It's still a novelty to me. I mean, I will set my phone on it, you know, at work or whatever. And if I ever need real charging, I just know that it's so slow. I can actually put my phone on my charger, my stand charger at night, and I can turn on Pokemon Go when I go to sleep. So basically my little guy will walk around downtown while I sleep all night, catching eggs. You have to walk with Pokemon to hatch eggs. And so the GPS downtown is so bad that my guy will walk like 1 or 2 kilometers a night just sitting on the stand.
Just watch the screen and he just wanders around.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he just wanders around. So I don't always do it, but you know, every now and then I'll just do it. And I've noticed in the mornings where it's not fully charged. It can sit there all night long running Pokemon Go on that wireless charger. And it's not near dead. It's almost full, but it's not fully charged. Sitting there running that app, it's kind of, I'm like, that's really slow.
That's the same thing that I've observed too with, let's say that I have my iPad and I'm on a plane and I was using the non-fast charging Anker power brick, you know, the little battery. I would notice that it would keep the iPad from dying, but it wouldn't charge it up. So let's say I was at like 80%, I plug in while I'm watching a movie and the power draw is just, you know, it's not sufficient to actually, for the expenditure of the CPU while you're actively using it. No, I know, because I know exactly what you're saying. If you had a 5-watt charger and you plug that thing in and you were doing the same thing, it'd probably be the same way. Like you'd get up in the morning and it'd be like, wait a minute, why is this not, you know, the way it's supposed to be? So, because I was wondering, it's like, how is he doing this? Is he doing some sort of weird hack? But I know what you mean with the GPS and the buildings playing.
You know,
the game is on, the screen
is on. The game keeps the screen from turning off.
Yep.
And so the GPS is running. you know, and in the network, it, you know, it keeps having to query back to the servers, you know, to load new stuff, you know, so it's staying busy, but, and it doesn't die. One thing I did notice is I've had issues where if I do that, sometimes the alarm won't go off. Like if the game is on, sometimes the alarm won't go off. So like if I actually have to get up in the morning, I know not to do it now.
Fun fact, your Apple Watch will actually have its own alarm that will set off that will wake you up if you wear your Apple Watch at night.
I used that today, actually, because I set my my phone and my iPad. I was up last night with a late promotion at work. I put my phone and my iPad on silent, you know, basically do not disturb, and then I set an alarm just on my watch and laid down. I mean, technically, they could call me and my watch would go off, but, you know, I've got it set to where, you know.
It mirrors the phone, I bet. So, like, yeah. Yeah. I do the same thing, but that watch thumping me on the wrist, that is awesome, because you won't sleep through that in most cases. At least I won't. So, love that same thing.
My favorite function of the alarm on the Apple Watch is being able to snooze. That way, when it goes off, I can just look at the watch and hit the snooze bar, and it gives me another 9 minutes to sleep.
Yep.
I hate the snooze button. Oh, my God, I hate
the
snooze
button.
Oh,
I love the snooze button. I am a snooze whore.
I'll actually, like, if I go to bed really tired, I'll set the alarm 20 minutes before I need to get up. So that way I know I can get me two snoozes to get motivated to actually get up.
27 minutes, man. That's three snoozes. There you go.
If I do that, I'm back into deep REM sleep. Like, it's like, ah, and it's the pain of waking up all over again. It's rip that Band-Aid off and get up, man, because once you do it, it's done. But, oh, I can't do the snooze. If I do the snooze, I'll
just
never
go to bed on time and get up on time, and you're good to go.
There's that. I mean, you should do that as well.
I'm a just absolute horrible morning person. I'm not a whore. I mean, I'm just in the morning. I'm beyond useless.
Because you stay up too damn late.
I do.
I try to make sure I get right at 7 hours, and I use that bedtime part of the clock on the iPhone, and it'll tell me, it's like, it's time to go to bed, and I turn the TV off, and I'm in the bed.
Oh, God, I had to turn that crap off. It just nagged the hell out of me.
The thing that I try to do, too, though, is be consistent every single night, even on the weekends. I try to go to bed at roughly the same time, and then that way you're not having to throw your body off. Now, I know in Jim's case, when you travel a lot, that makes it difficult, which is one of the reasons I hate traveling, but if you can do that, then, you know, you can become a morning person very easily just by keeping your bedtime the same. I tell the same thing to my wife, whose schedule is really variable, which I see in her case, it's worse than traveling, because it's like, hey, I'm going to work till 11 p.m. and then I have to get up and be at work by, you know, I'm going to be at work by 8 a.m. You know, that sucks when you come home, and how do you turn your mind off and have something to eat,
right,
and unwind, yeah. And then, you know, the next day she'll have to go to, you know, she'll have to be at work at 1 p.m. and work till 10 or something. You know what I mean? It's, in her case, I can understand it, even though I wouldn't be able to deal with it. But yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. But I try to be consistent to just avoid that. But I love my wireless charger. I use it every night by the bed. Just, you know, that's the thing. I didn't realize that, and I should have thought of this, and I could kick myself for not. But Monoprice has, I think, a 10-watt charger for $20. That converts from a stand to a lay flat, like I like, you know, the stand, you know, I like those convertible type chargers. Didn't even think to look there. $20, 10-watt charger. Very, very nice. I'm kicking myself that I had never picked one of those up from there. It's not pretty, but, and the cable sticks off the side at a weird angle, which I don't really care for, but hey, $20, and it technically supports fast charging. So, or at least as fast as the iPhone can do at 7.5 watts. So
yeah, I think I sleep about 5 or 6 hours a night during the week and 12 hours a night on the weekends.
Not only does Jim live like he's 22, he sleeps like he's 22. Ugh, that would tear my schedule. Man, I don't know. That would throw me off. I used to do that. But
I actually commented to somebody this weekend. I'm like, it really zaps a Sunday when you get up at noon, doesn't it?
Yes. See, that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of times I've noticed, like, if my wife sleeps in on the weekends and we get a late start and it's like 1 o'clock before she gets going, and it's like, well, the weekend is almost gone. It's like, yeah, because, you know, I was up at 8. What are you talking about? I was up and
you're ready to eat lunch and she's ready for bacon and eggs.
Yes, it's like, let's go get brunch or something. And it's like, no, you've literally half the day is gone. And it's even worse when the time change comes in the fall. Like, the summer is great because at least the sun stays up to like 8:30 or whatever, or between 8:30 and 9. In the winter, when you do that crap, it, you know, the sun sets at like 5:30 or something. So it's really, really depressing.
Wake up at 1 and you've got 4 hours of daylight.
Exactly. Oh, it's the worst.
In mine, it's not even like a couple of years back, I was going out and partying a lot and stuff. Now, I sleep 12 hours and I didn't even drink the night before. I just do it. It's just because I'm burning, you know, just during the week I'm working so much and whatnot and with the travel and everything, I just kind of, and I know everybody says that you can't catch up on your sleep. I've seen it in a million different articles, and people say I'm going to catch up on my sleep, and supposedly that's physically impossible. Like once you lose it, it's gone. You can sleep a whole bunch more in a day or two, but you're not catching up anything that you already didn't get. So
consistent bedtime will change your entire life. That and use your CPAP.
Consistent anything would change my life. That's kind of my problem.
I know it's boring, and that's the thing too, is like I know I've really settled into a middle-aged boring man, but at the same time I crave that routine and that consistency, and when I don't have it, I turn into a crazy person. I'm horrible to be around when I can't maintain some semblance of my routine. Drives my wife nuts. Let's see. Wow, that was a weird deviation from a wireless charger, but is it possible to just do Pokemon on your iPad instead of your phone? You have like a cellular iPad. Just do that. And
yeah,
then...
I could. You know what? The iPad, he doesn't walk near as much. The phone, the GPS is a little shakier. Like the iPad, and when I'm at home on Wi-Fi at my house, the iPad, he generally just kind of sits still. Every now and then, he'll move a little bit. But the phone, it's like he's got ants in his pants.
Herky jerky. Let's see. So... Wow, there's a good bit more to cover. So let's talk about the iPhone 10 Plus that's rumored to exist. I guess the Note 9 is out. Samsung always releases their phones, their new phones in August, so that they can sort of, you know, beat Apple to the punch when they have their big presentations in September. However, it's kind of strange that the CPU in the iPhone still smokes. I mean, it's not even close, the Note 9.
I saw those, man. That was nuts, right?
That was impressive. When you control your own hardware destiny, somewhere Steve is looking down, giving the thumbs up at or flipping off Qualcomm or Snap, whoever's making those Snapdragon processors. But yeah, that's embarrassing to have something where you're getting beaten by a phone that's a year old. Handily.
I know. I mean, I think we've said on here several times, you know, every year around this time when it's new iPhone time and they talk about them and, you know, all the CPU scores and things come out, that these CPUs that Apple is building now for all their devices, they don't really get the credit where credit's due for building, you know, that part of their devices, because these system on a chip things that they're, you know, I mean, it's one of the best things they got going. It's made the iPhone what it is and the iPad what it is. You know, you don't see it. You know, it's not, it is the phone or it is the iPad, but you don't see it. And so I don't think they get enough credit for the technology, the advancements that go into those CPUs. I mean, it's pretty simple. They're competing against companies that actually just make CPUs for a living. Like, I mean, they make CPUs and that's what they do, and they're still beating them at their own game.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, if you compare this to, like, the MacBooks, for example, there's no buzz around the MacBooks, right? They're beholden to Intel's release cycle, and they're really kind of unimpressive. And there's really no benefit for a lot of what you want to do in that space on a Windows PC versus a MacBook, right? And that's always been true, but that tight integration with the OS and the CPU gives them the ability to do things that just wouldn't be possible if they weren't controlling the entire stack. So that was kind of nice. I like that. But the
all the power optimizations and everything that they do, I mean, it's just amazing the integration that they are able to maintain.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you want to make it thinner, you got to make I mean, that's their real goal, is we've got to do everything else just so we can make this thing as thin as possible.
Got to have those thin devices. Well, the nice thing about it, though, is that the Note 9 does have colors and stylus support. So, hey, Apple, you want to steal something, steal the colors, if nothing else. And the Note 9 can cost up to $1,250, and that, of course, includes 512 gigs of storage, which I guess, Jason, you had shared a note that we'll put in the show notes, where it looks like the 2018 OLED iPhones may support the Apple Pencil and 512 gigs of storage in the top tier. So that would put it comparably... spec to the Note 9, of course, you know, still a more impressive CPU, but at least things like the internal storage and stylus support would be included. But it also gives you an indicator of what that price range may be. So, you know, what's funny is that Apple got all of this, you know, people clutching the pearls going, I can't believe that we're going to have $1,000 iPhone. And now Samsung has upped the ante with a $1,250 phone. And you're not really seeing a big stink made about it in the press to nearly the same degree. But I can guarantee you next month when the top tier 512 gig iPhone ends up costing like $1,299 or $1,300 or $1,350.
Well, now that we've already gotten over the $1,000 hump,
$1,499.
You know, it's like anything that's over $1,000, people are just going to be like, eh, whatever.
Well, I did log in today to Verizon, and it looks like I'm not going to be able to upgrade with the iPhone every year plan until, I guess, late October, early November, because that's when the iPhone 10 actually made it to market. So in order for me to have paid off half of the current phone that I have, I've got two more payments to go.
So just make two more payments.
I will make an extra payment for that.
I might make one, but I hate giving money away.
It's not really giving money away, though. You said you would do it every year. You're planning on getting it every year. It ends up being, what, like $80?
It's making good on their promise.
I hated making two extra payments on my 7 Plus last year when the 10 came out. So this is kind of like getting double screwed 2 years in a row.
Take your Apple tax like a man.
You're treating it like to rent to own, right? That's what it is. It's rent to own. And you're never going to own it. It's just a lease. You're going to turn the thing in like a car. Just think of it like that. It's not that big a deal.
It's like a new big screen TV this year and a new couch next year. And
hey, it's cheaper than most of the guns, right?
Ain't that the truth?
By a long shot.
See, it's not so bad. I guarantee you, though, Apple.
A long shot. I get that. Ha ha.
Ha 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 ha.
You see what I did there, eh?
I bet you Apple won't have that problem. I bet you I won't have that problem through Apple's trade-in program, even though it's the same terms. They may hold me to it. They may screw me on it, but I'm betting they don't, because it'll behoove them more to move those units than it will to hold you to the terms of this contract. But we'll see.
It only helps their stock price.
Yeah, so they would much rather see, hey, we sold this many devices and get those out, than it would be to, you need to hang on to this for two more months. I don't know. Maybe as a thought experiment, I won't make a couple of extra payments just to make sure that I'm ahead, because I should do that if I want to be doubly sure, but maybe I'll play press your luck and we'll see. Because I know when it gets announced, they'll show your eligibility through the thing as to whether or not you can do it. So,
man, my Verizon bill is starting to go nuts. I mean, I thought, you know, when I first got Verizon, I was like, all right, this is a pretty good deal here. And so now I've got this much more expensive phone, and I've added the iPad and I've added the watch, you know, and it just keeps going up. And I'm just like, man, this is for one person for unlimited. You know, I got to use more than this.
What's your phone bill looking like?
It seems like it was like $225 or something.
Wow, dude, that's what mine is for the four of us.
It's crazy, right? I mean, but that's how it works, though. You can add other phones and you're not really paying that much more. Like for one phone, it's ridiculous. I just need to adopt a family or something. I did have a bunch of family on my AT&T plan, and I got off that and got done with that, and now it's just me on Verizon. I need to find a single mom I can support.
Port your parents or something over.
Yeah, find a single mom I can support with, you know, a phone for her and for her children.
I'm sure that's not too hard to do. Let's see. So it came out this week that Google's iOS and Android apps track and store your location data, even with the location history disabled. Is anybody really surprised by this?
No way.
I mean, come on. I'm surprised that, you know, that even more hasn't come out about Android apps, because, I mean, they just don't have control of them. And I read right, I mean, there's like 10 times more of those Android apps than there are iOS. And like, there's just this big glut of just really crappy apps, and they let just about anything in the store. Whereas Apple, you know, notoriously is like, keeps things from getting in the store, and it makes things slower to get released because they're, you know, they can't keep up with it. Whereas for Android, the store is just like overrunneth with crap.
It's the California Gold Rush with the Android apps.
Well, I mean, it really sucks that the entire business model is based around data mining. And I will never understand why Google gets such a pass from people that hate Apple but are completely willing to trade their privacy and have no qualms about this. And of course, there was that story that was linked off of Daring Fireball a few weeks ago, where the successor OS to Android called Fuchsia, where they had the compromises for the advertising team had to be made by the engineering team. And that's heartbreaking that something like that actually happens, you know? That you have to worry about you can't trust your phone not to leak your personal data, whether you want it to or not. And all the normals out there won't have any idea and will just go about their business and I don't know. Is privacy really a dead concept in this day and age? I mean, I know that we voluntarily give up a lot of information through social media, and I know that there are ways to turn these things off, but, you know, am I the crazy one, or should we really be caring about this?
Privacy and free speech are dead.
Free speech is dying every day. I'm not going to get off on a big tangent here, but what Facebook and Google and Apple are doing to some sources, and I've even read this week that Facebook is silencing some far left personalities as well. They're not just trying to silence just far right conservative speak. They're actually going after some far left. But in doing so, I mean, free speech is getting eroded more and more and more. And I understand it's their platform and they can make their rules. And I see nowhere in my end user license agreement with Facebook or Google that they're about protecting any of my constitutional rights. So
I agree with you there. Yeah. I just in general, you know, I threw that in there because, you know, the more and more I see it, it's the one thing that I think we truly have or had in this country that pretty much nowhere else in the world had it as open as you know, the United States did as far as free speech. You know, in other places, you know, different things are limited and things like that. And so I don't want people to say mean things, but people should be able to say whatever they want. I mean, you know, words don't hurt. That's what I was taught when I was 10, you know, but that when a kid punched you in the face, that hurt.
On the privacy standpoint, I think we traded some articles back and forth on Telegram about what's going on out at the DEF CON conference right now of, you know, hotel staff are going through people's rooms and inspecting items when they're not there. And, you know, these people are coming back and finding goons in their rooms, you know, tossing all their stuff and, you know, stealing their personal property. And I'm telling you, man, if I was a part of something like that, there would be hell to pay for everyone involved, because, you know, I do take my privacy seriously. And even though I've got various devices and share on social media, I realize what I'm giving up there. But as far as, you know, like protection of personal property, and if I'm contracting with you to rent a room, there is a reasonable right of privacy expected according to the Supreme Court of the U.S. and when you rent a hotel room. So I think what they're doing there is pretty terrible as well.
Yeah, we could really go down a rabbit hole with that one. And speaking of DEF CON,
this is a whole new podcast, basically. We could have a whole new podcast on just
that. Oh, yeah, definitely. About your human rights and free speech and privacy. I mean, with the whole privacy thing, that makes me think about on V for Vendetta, where they say, well, just pull it up on these cams, and all that footage, they just know where everybody is all the time. And there was a story on Vice maybe a month or two ago about how the facial recognition and all of the security cams in China are basically, they can say this woman walking down the road weighs this much, and this is her identity, and this is exactly who she is. And it's just crazy how, you know, that's where we're going. So everybody knows where you are at all times.
Yeah, we're already there in that regard. But so speaking of DEF CON, hackers found a not so easy way to make the Amazon Echo a spy bug. And it was a pretty difficult hack, but this isn't the first time it's happened. You know, you did have researchers who were able to get an app in that did the triggered the keyword without actually vocally triggering the keywords, so that you could record somebody surreptitiously without their knowledge. And I mean, we're coming for the day that somebody is going to have a scandal where they get prominent. You know, someone who's prominent is going to have leaked audio that came from an Echo or a similar device. And I do keep my Google Home Mini and my Echo Dot mic muted most of the time, just because I don't make use of the skills very often. I use the HomePod a lot more. But I was having lunch with a guy that I used to work with a long time ago. We were talking about home automation, and, you know, he was going all in on the Amazon stuff. And I kind of reminded him, it's like, hey, we're talking about door locks in particular. You don't want someone to be able to stand on your front porch and then yell to your Echo, hey, unlock the front door, and have it do it. You know, and I was explaining how the HomePod won't do it unless you're on an authenticated device. So if your phone is unlocked, or your Apple Watch, which is, you know, has to be on your wrist and unlocked, it'll do it. But you know, if the phone is not unlocked, then telling a HomePod to open something won't work. So, and that it was like something went off.
Is that a thing? Like, people are yelling. Did I miss that? I heard you say that, and I'm like, wow, you could totally do that, and I didn't even know that was a thing.
My electrician in 2016, when he was putting in some of the electric lights here, the automated lights in the office where I'm recording, We had talked about this, and he knew people who had, you know, had done the same thing just for grins and giggles to mess with their friends who knew that they had the automated front doors of standing on the their front stoop, yelling, making sure that the device heard it and watching it unlock. So that's definitely a thing. And if you think about, you know, the Amazon's path seems to be get as many devices in many people's hands as you possibly can, and we'll sort the other stuff out later. And we don't really care about the skills so long as it makes the device more sticky and people are using it. And, you know, that's been kind of an afterthought. I don't know if they've ever finally addressed that, but, you know, I know the HomePod won't do that. I know that if you do this, you're going to be okay. And I do that as someone who has to open the garage. And if my phone is in my car and it's not unlocked, it won't do it. So I have to reach down and tell my watch to open the garage door as I'm coming into the neighborhood, stuff like that. So it's definitely a different focus, and that's kind of why I feel better about using the HomePod for that sort of thing, other than, say, the Home Mini or the Amazon Echo.
I thought the funnest thing you could do was just, like, walking through a married friend's house and going over and kind of saying, hey, lady, order Magnum condoms, and then see what happens in a couple of days when they come in.
Yeah, you want to turn off that being able to place an order. I saw an article not too long ago that said that an astoundingly small number of people buy things through their Echo Dot. And I'm thinking, when I'm buying things on Amazon, I like to even price compare within Amazon to make sure. And I see prices fluctuate so wildly. There's a ton of things that I keep in my cart, and I'll see the prices. And it's not even just by a few dollars in some cases. Sometimes it is wildly on an order of magnitude of, you know, tens of dollars, $20, $30, depending on something that's on sale, or depending like which seller is selling it through the marketplace. So the notion to me that somebody will just tell their Amazon device to order something, it's nuts that you would do that with sight unseen and just say, yeah, do that. That's fine.
Yeah, I like just get some paper towels. You don't know what the hell you're going to get, how many, what size, you know.
I haven't reached that level of lazy quite yet. I'm still working on it, but I'm getting there, but not yet.
Well, I've got an update on my Super Rogue Echo device. So I've got three, one in the hallway. The one in the hallway has always been the worst offender of just picking up when nothing's happening, right? Like, well, we changed the activation word on it to computer, right? I mean, that's three syllables. You know, it's not a word that gets, you know, said or what, you know, on TV much or just in the house in general. And that has cut its activations by probably 60 to 70%.
Wow.
But that one unit is still the most egregious offender in the house of doing it. So I'm almost of the opinion that it's just straight up a defective Echo and the other two are okay. And you know, occasionally pick up with words that do sound like the trigger words.
That is really, really strange. And I don't know, it's just, it always creeps me out whenever I would see that blue light come on, spin up, and then go back off. It just, I don't know, seems weird. Still haven't gotten over it even after all these years.
When I got my pie hole, that was one of the things that I saw is how chatty those things were. I mean, thousands and thousands of requests that you could see, you know, because you're basically watching DNS requests is what you're watching with the pie hole. Yeah, it was a lot of them, which my pie hole recently stopped working. I had to disable it last weekend and I haven't had a chance to start working again. It seems to be working as far as it's doing what it's supposed to as far as the blocking, like I you know, but the DNS requests are kind of, it's not picking them all up. And sometimes the computer will just stop being able to make DNS requests. So I had to change my DNS server. That's another topic, and we could talk about that for a while, and we've been going for a while, but yeah.
Put your pie hole in a VM instead of a Raspberry Pi. That may be you and your 85 Echoes maybe overrunning it with your constant DNS requests. You're doing a denial of service on yourself, sir. I do believe.
DNS is such a light service, though. There's no reason why a Pi couldn't serve that up.
No, you would think. And I mean, you could also cache those requests, too, if you want to do DNS caching or something like that, I guess. I don't.
And it does do caching. It uses a service called DNS Mask, and it's you know, it's not full bind. It definitely caches a lot because that's, of course, reported inside of the pie hole stats also.
Well, I know Jim is exhausted, and, you know, I guess we're coming up toward the end of the hour. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Anything happened neat? Anything a little bit off topic? Lay it on me.
I ordered that new little 12 South AirPod case. I couldn't resist it. It's like the same color as my wallet and the same color as my laptop bag that I got from Waterfield. It should be at home by the time I get home this week. So
So the just little clips leather to your one. Belt loop or whatever.
Yeah, your keys. It's just a keychain clip. I've got one now, the little plastic blue one, but you know, it's 12 South. I was like, it matches, you know, it matches all my gear. I was like, why not?
Yeah, I totally get that. 12 South, man, they make some really nice stuff. I love it. Best Apple accessory.
It's all hard to resist, right?
Really wish they were a sponsor. That would be great. If anyone listening knows how to hook that up, let me know. That would be wonderful. We sing their praises every week on this show. Just about, it feels like.
I'll talk about them every week just for a discount. They don't even have to pay us. Just, you know, just give us a little discount, you know.
A little taste. What about you, Brad? Anything from you?
I had something and I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Old age sucks.
Brad got him a fancy new pick-em-up truck.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you got a new ride.
Yeah, it's fancy. It's just for work, really. I gave my son my other vehicle just because he's 16 and it's just time for him to have one. So that was the only real catalyst for me going to get a new vehicle was that he needed one.
What about you, Jason, now that you're ambulatory again?
Well, after driving my wife's Subaru Forester in and out of downtown Atlanta traffic, we opted not to take Marta to the concert. I have decided that her car will be getting upgraded to the new larger Subaru. I think it's the Ascent, maybe, but it's like their first full-size one. But it's got a 25% larger motor and a turbo. Her car could not get out of its own way. Like, at one point, I snuck up to be first, to be that jerk that was going to dart out front and, you know, get over real quick from the red light. And dude, I put it on the floor and the car sat there for like 3 seconds. It was almost like launching a app the first day on iOS 12 beta 7. It was so bad. So she is going to be getting once our house, our rental house closes at the end of this month, we will be looking for a higher horsepower family vehicle.
See, I have spoiled myself in situations like this where if I have something like that I have to go to, I am Lyft or Uber all the way, man. I am just like, make it somebody else's problem, and I am a happy man. Now, granted, that would have been a long Lyft ride for you, sir.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm, you know, halfway to Tennessee, according to Jim.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to throw back out that scooters in Dallas are still a big hit. And those scooters are everywhere now. They're great for getting around. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, they are everywhere in downtown Dallas and uptown Dallas. So
apparently, most Californians hate them.
San Francisco hates everything, right? Anytime something new comes along, they have to shut it down and regulate the hell out of it. So yeah,
they're all over LA too, and a lot of the LA folks just hate them because they just clutter up everywhere. Because when you're done with them, they just leave them.
No, they've been pretty good. They're better than the bikes. I mean, the bikes were everywhere when they first got down there, and there was just way too many of them. With the scooters, I don't really even notice them a lot because they're actually, people are riding them. They're not just sitting around. Like, you know, you get up in the morning, and if you try to find a scooter at 2 p.m., you might have trouble finding one because there's already people out on all of them. I mean, it's that crazy.
Huh. So how does the return process, so Brad's saying if you're done, you just leave them, but is that your experience in Dallas, Jim, or is there?
They have some kind of tracker.
They've got a kickstand, and you just kind of put it there, and it's got a tracker, so you can, on the app, you can pull up the app, and it'll tell you all where they are all around you. So I've ridden Lime scooters and the Bird scooters. Yeah, you just basically pull up the app, and it tells you, you know, there's one, a block, you know, a map with, you know, here's some that you could ride, and it'll even tell you their battery level of, you know, the ones you're looking at on the map, so. And the Bird scooters, it's like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. After that, they will not work. Like, if you've already got it rented, it's good. But after 9 o'clock at night, they basically shut down and will not let you rent them at night.
That's probably a safety thing.
Yeah. But the Lime ones, as far as I could tell, do not do that.
Do they have, like, Bird X and Bird Black?
Yeah, that'd be a long scooter ride back for Jason. That might not be a viable option either. He would have calves of steel by the time he got home, though.
I'm pretty sure I exceed the recommended weight allowance on one of those things.
Dude, your Apple Watch would have you at like 10,000% of your calorie burn for the day if you were to do that. If you were to go from downtown to where you live, you'd be all set.
It's great for Pokemon, walking your Pokemons.
You ought to be in an ad for Pokemon, Jim. You really do. You've got it figured out, man. From the
get us some Switches on the cheap.
I wish, man. I have been playing the hell out of my Switch lately. Love that thing. Love it. Even though the games, you know, like even though they're silly and they're not the greatest, like the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is a fun, goofy game that I can sit there. The Crash Bandicoot one I can sit there and play. Just fun. And you can do Super Mario Kart over the internet with other people. Oh my goodness. Playing with friends, nifty. Love it. Though Jason will never know because he'll never buy a Switch.
Next month, they're supposedly doing the internet thing starts up, and you'll actually be able to do like Super Mario and some of the older games like that are going to be released like that.
Cannot wait. It is a great game system. Even adding a friend is like adding like a UUID type code. I had to photograph it and send it to a friend to get them to add it to, hey, add me as a friend. Here's the 45-digit code. I don't know why they do that. It's so weird. Well,
yeah, they really could simplify that.
I think they want to make it tough. Well, I think that should do it for this week. Until next time, later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.